welcome to the Fan Podcast. I'm Mo Horton, and the NBA Finals have officially been wrapped up. The Golden State Warriors are your 2018 NBA Finals champions. They swept the Cleveland Cavaliers to win their third championship in 4 years. A lot of celebrating yesterday. They had their parade yesterday. Shouts out to everybody in Oakland. All my people out there having a good time. So they're the juggernaut, a dynasty. But how will anybody keep up? Because the narrative is about to shift, and the NBA is about to embark on free agency July 1st. So in this installment of the podcast, we're going to talk about the free agency. Where is everybody going to go? What teams are going to target LeBron James, Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins? And what's going on in Kevin Durant's head? Will he finally get the recognition that he so desperately deserves? We'll talk about that and more on the Fan Podcast. So, NBA free agency begins July 1st. Everybody wants to know, where's the big guy going? The superstar, the face of the league since 2008. Where is LeBron James going when the start of free agency happens? To be honest with you, none of us know. In the history of the paradigm that is LeBron James, in 2010, July 8th, he made the decision to go to Miami. Nobody knew that he was going to go there. He had so many options on the table, including going to Brooklyn / New Jersey, where Jay-Z owned the team because he was friends with Jay-Z. A lot of folks said Chicago. A lot of people thought New York. And people overlooked Miami just for the simple fact that they didn't have the cap space. But Pat Riley was able to be a mastermind, to be smart, to get rid of some of those bad contracts. And in my opinion, created the fleece of a lifetime when he gave Michael Beasley to the Timberwolves for practically nothing in order to get the space to get LeBron James and Chris Bosh. So where he's going to go this year? You know, I have no idea. I have no clue in the slightest, but LeBron James has a lot of people. And he has a lot of different factors in his decision this time around than he had the last time. His kids are older. His kids are about to be in high school. His two boys, his wife is trying to get a stable life with what she wants to do outside of everything that he's doing off the court. And also LeBron, you know, he wants to be a superhero. He wants to be in movies. He wants to be those type of superheroes that you see in the movies that he feel like he is on the court. So where's LeBron going to go? I mean, with all that being said, I just said that the logical answer would be L.A. A lot of people believe that LeBron James is going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers just to pursue his dream in order to be in Hollywood doing production with his production company. He has a home out there. The school that LeBron kids may go to, Sierra Canyon, Kenyon Martin's son, Scottie Pippen's son is going there. But I wouldn't rule anything out when it comes to LeBron James. But if I was LeBron, I'd be trying to make a decision quick, fast, and in a hurry because he is the big domino effect. In years past, LeBron could wait around and wait out and see where everybody went and see what everybody would go and say, hey, I'll go here. But you can't do that this time because Golden State is loaded. And not only are they loaded, but they're loaded right now. They still have guys on the contracts over the next couple of years. Kevin Durant already said that he's going to go back there. So he has to make a decision quick, fast, and in a hurry. He cannot waste any time because he has to be recruited in recruiting mode. He has to recruit Paul George. He has to recruit Kawhi Leonard. And he possibly even had to recruit Kevin Durant. And people are like, well, that's crazy. You know, Kevin Durant said he's going back to Golden State. I mean, I don't know if you guys been watching the news, but Kevin Durant ain't looking all that respectable right now. A lot of people, a lot of fans don't respect him. Hell, even his GM made a slight at him yesterday at the parade. So even if Durant does say no, you can at least give a shot and call and say, hey, Kevin, do you have any consideration of playing with me in L.A.? Just to see what he says. Because LeBron James has to get a team going in order to beat Golden State because they're a juggernaut right now. They're a machine. And LeBron needs all the help he can get. So there's a lot of speculation about where he's going to go. I wouldn't rule out Miami again. Him and Maverick Carter have smoothed things over with Pat Riley. And all Pat Riley has to do is move that Hassan Whiteside contract out of the books. And he'll have room to not only get LeBron James, but another max player. So anything is possible. I learned from 2010 that anything is possible. He could go to the Spurs and link up with Kawhi. I don't think that's a good move for his family, though. Houston's the same thing. Three ball-dominant guys, don't think it'll work. Same thing in Philadelphia. He's basically being Simmons' agent right now, you know, with Maverick Carter owning the agency. And then also, both guys need the ball, so I don't think that'll work in this climate of today, especially how LeBron James play, unless he's willing to take a smaller role as far as ball handling is concerned. So the places that make sense for me is L.A. and Miami, because there are two places that his family absolutely love. His family didn't want to leave Miami to begin with in 2014. So those two places are places I think that are feasible for LeBron to go. But I ultimately believe that he's going to end up going to the Lakers. But I'll tell you why it may not be such a foregone conclusion after all. So again, we're talking about the NBA free agency, where LeBron's going to go. And like I said, it seems to be a foregone conclusion that LeBron is possibly going to go to L.A. But I don't think it's that far-fetched to think that he won't entertain other possibilities in other cities. I don't think L.A. is a lot like a lot of people are analyzing. I believe there's a lot of traction with this Boston Celtics thing. I don't think that you know, it's a good idea. Don't get me wrong. Like, because Kyrie spent all his time trying to get away from LeBron, and now LeBron coming back to join him, I don't think that'll fly with Kyrie. But at the same time, Danny Ainge is a businessman. Danny Ainge is what I used to listen to when I used to watch wrestling, and their wrestler Triple H used to always say, what's best for business? What's good for business? And he always make his decisions on the simple notion of what's best for business. And that's what Danny Ainge does. I think Danny Ainge is going to make a decision about what is best for business. There's a possibility that Kyrie may be traded. And a lot of people don't believe that. Like, why would you trade Kyrie? You know, Terry Rozier isn't all that good. It's not about Terry Rozier not being all that good in people's eyes. It's about Kyrie not committing to the Boston Celtics long term. He doesn't want to sign an extension going into the last year of his contract. He wants to, you know, explore his options because it doesn't make any sense financially. You know, the NBA salary cap is always inflating or deflating. This person is going to inflate, especially if they can get a law passed to where they can get the 1% of money in gambling, since sports gambling has passed now. So that'll make the salary cap skyrocket. And you don't want to be the guy stuck with the old salary cap number when there's a new salary cap number out there. And also, too, that gives Kyrie more flexibility as far as years, number, and everything. So what are the Boston Celtics going to do? Are they going to just sit around and let Kyrie walk? Or try to get some value for him? And if LeBron James come knocking, you have to answer. LeBron James is that hot girl. Is that girl in class that every guy want to at least give a shot at. And so you got to at least see where he's at. So if you think about it, if they ship Kyrie out of town for, let's say, Anthony Davis. You trade Kyrie for Anthony Davis, and then LeBron James signed there as a free agent. You put Gordon Hayward to two. That's going to be an instant title contender. So it's not far-fetched to say LeBron James go to another area. Like I said, I don't think it makes a lot of sense, but he could go and join up with Kawhi in San Antonio. He'll get to play under an elite coach in Greg Popovich. I think the only elite coach he's had in his career so far is Eric Spoelstra. But even though Spoelstra don't get the credit that he deserves, in my opinion, Spoelstra was the best coach for LeBron. He was the first guy to really initiate the small ball by putting Chris Bosh at the center, basically, you know, laying the groundwork for what Golden State has going on right now. So, but I believe that, you know, Houston is not out of the question either, even though I don't think it makes sense because three guys who need the ball and the ball dominant. And also, it'll destroy their cap because they have to re-sign Clint Capella and re-sign Chris Paul. So, but I believe that LeBron James to L.A. isn't a foregone conclusion because LeBron may end up duping us all and just figuring out a way to stay in Cleveland just because his family is happy. We don't know what goes on in his mind, but we do know that wherever LeBron James does decide to go, is going to have a profound and disproportionate effect on the league, because LeBron James is the meal ticket. He's what we come to watch every week. He's the guy that elevates the meter, whether like him or not. We're talking about him. Even though he lost the finals, we're talking about him. You know, we have this MJ and LeBron discussion because we're talking about him. And this will lead into another reason why I believe it's not a foregone conclusion that LeBron is going to go to LA. We'll talk more about it in the next segment. Another reason why I don't believe that it is a foregone conclusion for LeBron to go to LA is because something that's kind of out there that's not in his control. And that's the debate between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Now, before, you know, you kind of clutch your chest and be like, you know, well, you know, LeBron this or MJ that. I'm not even talking about those two guys. I am talking about one Kobe Bean Bryant. That's right. And even though nobody is talking about Kobe, nobody really gives a hoot about what Kobe Bryant got going on right now. Nobody even cares. But Kobe Bryant has figured out a way to insert himself into this conversation, even though nobody was talking about him. Now, I hate all the Kobe stans. I don't know which one's worse, LeBron stans or Kobe stans, but I'm leaning towards Kobe stans. And the reason why I believe that LeBron is not a foregone conclusion that LeBron's going to go to LA is because of the Kobe stan, because of how everybody views Kobe Bryant in that larger than life city. And I don't think they'll ever accept LeBron as the guy that they accept Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant has in recent weeks tweeted and had recent ways to try to insert himself in the conversation as being the number two guy. He doesn't even want to be the number one guy anymore. He doesn't even want to say, let's have a comparability between MJ and Kobe, which, who's the best player to ever play the game, Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. He's just fighting for number two right now. And LeBron James, in my opinion, has been surpassed Kobe's legacy. People are going to say, you know, what about the ring discussion? Kobe has five, LeBron has three. With that same logic, you can say that Russell's the best player of all time because he has 11. It's not about the rings. It's about the appeal, the impact on the game, the structure in which they impacted the game, and watching them live and seeing them do something that you've never seen before. And I've been able to live through Michael Jordan and LeBron James era. I still believe MJ's the greatest player of all time. I believe LeBron is a close second. We can have arguments back and forth about it all day about it, but I believe those are the two greatest players that I've ever seen. And I don't put Kobe in that discussion. I don't even put Kobe, you know, in my opinion, top 15. But that's another discussion for another day. But Kobe has injected himself, for better or for worse, into this paradigm between LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and which could turn LeBron James off into going to L.A., because how Kobe's going to feel about LeBron being in his city? Is that going to encourage him or empower him to put out more slander that's saying that, you know, LeBron is a journeyman or he's a guy who goes ring chasing when he stayed in L.A. the whole time? It could have an impact on LeBron's decision, because Kobe stans are like none other. They will ride for Kobe no matter how ridiculous, no matter what the take is. They're going to ride for Kobe. And the Kobe stan hates LeBron. Like, there's no question about it. Unjustifiably hates him, but hate him nonetheless. So how would LeBron feel about going to that city where Kobe Bryant reigns supreme, where a lot of people view him as possibly the greatest Laker of all time? Now, some people are throwing the possibility out there of the Clippers, but he ain't going to no dang Clippers. LeBron is not going to the Clippers. He'll be a second-class citizen if he goes to the Clippers. He's not going to no dang Clippers. I think LeBron would stand on top of the Hollywood sign and jump and push himself off before he joined the Clippers. Like, what are you talking about? So I think in our conclusion from this conversation that we don't have any leads. We don't know where LeBron's going to go. We don't. But I know that wherever he goes, he's going to impact a lot of paradigm. Because it's not, like I say, it's not a bad idea to go to L.A. He can team up with Paul George. The Lakers do have trading pieces where they can trade Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball for Kawhi Leonard and have a super team in L.A. that would outrival anything and anybody. So there's a possibility for that. But I just don't think it's all cut and dry, as the people saying. So we do have other players that are trying to get into free agency. Paul George. And we have talk about what Kawhi's going to do. So let's talk about that in the next few segments and see what we can get. So there's other players in free agency other than LeBron that we can talk about that's going to make a big impact on the league. One of the biggest guys is Paul George, where he's going to go. He's been talking about L.A. the last couple of years, so a lot of people think that's a foregone conclusion. But Houston's going to be recruiting Paul George very, very hard because he is a guy that's different from LeBron in the sense that he doesn't really need the ball in order to make an impact. He's a great two-way player, can score, can defend, can play off the ball, really, really good at cutting, really, really good at being versatile on the perimeter and guard positions 1-4. So Paul George will be a big impact and a big domino effect in the paradigm of where he's going to go. He can also team up with LeBron in L.A. He can team up with LeBron in Philadelphia if LeBron decides to go that route. But it's going to be a lot of stat guys and somebody has to go. Paul George might decide he want to go a different route and join the Spurs himself with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, anything is possible. I don't view Paul George as an alpha dog, though, like some people would. I don't view Paul George in his big sense as he's an alpha guy. He's got to take the game winning shot. I think he complimented Russell Westbrook well in OKC this year. He's just not a guy that's going to lead his team to the promised land. He's just not that type of dude. So it'll be interesting to see where he's going to go. And then you have guys, you know, on the lower level, DeMarcus Cousins. Is he going to re-sign with New Orleans? I think not. I think New Orleans saw how well they was able to work without him last year. And I think he's going to end up walking, maybe getting a max contract with a team that's not so good, maybe the Dallas Mavericks, for instance. It wouldn't be foreseeable if he takes less money and, you know, try to play with one of these superstars and see if he can get in where he fit in. But he has to change his game dramatically as far as on the defensive end before he can play with a LeBron James. He may can team up with Paul George somewhere. But, you know, I think he's going to go to one of those mid-level markets to try to make a lot of money, maybe the Dallas Mavericks, maybe, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks to try to play with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Or maybe New York, he's going to try to make a big splash because he wants all his money. So where does that leave us in the paradigm of NBA free agency? Because the bigger talks probably are going to be guys who aren't free agents. Guys like Anthony Davis. Guys like Kyrie Irving. Guys like Kawhi Leonard. Because that situation in San Antonio hasn't gotten any better. It's very, very toxic, and nobody knows what's going to happen with that. Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard are set to have a meeting soon to hash out all their differences and get everything going as far as what they're going to do with each other, what they're going to do, and how they can move past that little fiasco, because that was an issue with trust, because Kawhi believed that the Spurs misdiagnosed him, and the Spurs believed he was healthy. So that's a lot to unpackage there. But, you know, what if Kawhi can force his way to a trade to L.A. or to Philadelphia or for Kyrie Irving to Boston? That'll change the climate a lot, especially in the East. If Kawhi goes to Boston with Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum, oh, my goodness, that'll be insane. If LeBron was the man to go out West, I mean, that's Boston's conference if Kawhi goes there. And then you got Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is going into a year where at the end of the season in summer 2019, he could sign and be eligible for the 35% Supermax. But if not, he can opt out and walk. And the Pelicans, you know, they don't want to make any bad deals. They want to see if they can get something for Anthony Davis before he leaves, if they can. So Anthony Davis could possibly trade for Kyrie Irving. Or Anthony Davis could possibly be traded for Kawhi Leonard. I mean, the possibilities are endless with it. So it's a lot that we're going to have to look into and unpack and unwind as this season goes along. But I think the NBA free agency is just as exciting or more exciting than any other thing in the history of the NBA. The league is at its highest point. The popularity is very, very high. And I can't wait to see where everybody's going to go and what decisions that they're going to make. It's going to be very, very good, especially with the arguments and the back and forth and the discussions that we're going to have. And I'm just looking forward to this NBA free agency. And I wonder, you know, what everybody's going to do and how they're going to team up to stop this juggernaut that is the Golden State Warriors. Speaking of the Warriors, I'm going to get into a little bit of Kevin Durant next. So, Kevin Durant was named Finals MVP 2 years in a row. Now, you would disagree, and I thought Steph should have won it, but, you know, Kevin Durant won it nonetheless because that Game 3 was some of the best basketball, some of the most impactful stuff that I've ever seen. Completely taking over the game. Nobody could stop him. Even LeBron didn't even want to guard Kevin Durant in the final minutes of that game. So, Kevin Durant basically has in a lot of people's minds, validated himself, but I don't think he feels validated yet. And it's kind of a strange paradigm for Kevin Durant because he doesn't get the credit and appreciation that I believe that he deserves. And it's kind of null and void, though, because he did go to a team that was already stacked and had already won a championship, won 73 games, and was on the cusp of winning another one if it wasn't, you know, for a lot of different paradigms, LeBron and Kyrie basically going nuts, Golden State losing their center, which was a lot bigger than what a lot of people probably will remember because Bokic was that rim protector then. And when he got hurt, that allowed LeBron and Kyrie to get to the rim at will. And then obviously the Draymond suspension in Game 5. So a lot of things had to fall into place, including the ESPN-TNT deal that spiked the cap for them to be able to sign Kevin Durant. Also, Steph being on a low-level contract with bad ankles. So, but Kevin Durant basically is trying to fit in with the Golden State Warriors and kind of submit his own legacy. But I got to thinking about Kevin Durant, and a lot of people are calling him soft and weak, and you know what he did was, you know, wrong, and he shouldn't have signed with Golden State, should stay with OKC. I would agree that Kevin Durant probably should have went to a different team than Golden State, but I don't disagree at all about him leaving OKC because I don't think OKC would have went anywhere with him. I don't believe in the slightest that he had a chance of winning the championship in OKC. Even though his team went to a conference final every year that him and Westbrook was healthy. Even though when they went to the final in 2012, they had a good shot of winning. They were even the favorite in that series. Even though they had took Golden State Warriors 3-1 the year before, I do not believe that he would have ever won a championship in OKC, and nobody will ever convince me otherwise. Because OKC, for all their success, they never made the right moves. They always depended on talent and talent alone. Because you can make the argument that Scott Brooks and Billy Donovan are some of the two worst NBA coaches of all time. Watching years of Scott Brooks, even right now where he's in Washington with the Wizards, he's not a good offensive coach. He doesn't run any sets. He doesn't run any plays for his guys with all the talent he has with John Wall and Bradley Beal. And he definitely didn't do any of that with James Harden, with Kevin Durant, and with Russell Westbrook. And throw in Serge Ibaka. The only offensive set that I really seen that was effective that Scott Brooks ran was a pin down against the Spurs that they just simply couldn't stop with Kevin Durant coming out the pin down hitting the three and James Harden playing the point guard. And basically Billy Donovan is, you know, Scott Brooks light. Like, he's basically the same thing that Scott Brooks was. He doesn't run any sets. There's no motions. There's no spacing. It's basically Westbrook. Let's roll the ball out there and you go out there and try to win it for us. And Westbrook with his terrible decision-making when it comes to his passes, shot selection, just coming down, trying to will a team on athleticism alone. You really can't blame Kevin Durant for leaving OKC. He's come to a team now where they open up the offense for him. They use his strengths and his talents to make him a better player. He's a better passer now. He's a better defender now. Also, he's able to, you know, fit into a system to where he doesn't have to take over the game. But if he needs to take over the game, he can. And that's a lot of flexibility that he didn't have at OKC and or anywhere else where coaches don't really open up offensive. Because in this new age of basketball where passing and motion and spacing and three is more than two is concerned, Kevin Durant can still get his twos while also getting his threes and maximizing his passing, where he would never be able to do in OKC, not only with the coaching, but with his teammate, Russell Westbrook. So, in all part, I believe Kevin Durant made a good decision. Granted, 73-win team, but he made a good decision. So, I'm about to go off the grid a little bit and go out in a different direction, even though this show is mainly about free agency. I just want to promote what I'm going to be doing this summer. I'm going to be doing this podcast, but it's going to be basically dedicated to the NFL. I am going to sprinkle in some NBA free agency, obviously, because I can't get away from that. But I will be doing a series called All 32. Basically going to be previewing over the summer all 32 NFL teams. Basically, I'm going to do two per podcast. Going to basically talk about all their strengths and their weaknesses, their free agencies, the free agents that they have, the rookies that they have, and what type of impact they're going to have going forward in the NFL season. Because everybody's looking towards the Philadelphia Eagles because they're the champs right now. They're the big dogs. I talk about the Patriots. You know, they got a lot of offseason drama. What's going to happen with them? So, basically, dissect their weaknesses on all the film that I broke down. I'm going to do an all 32 on all NFL teams. And, you know, give me your suggestions. Who you want the first two teams to be? Who you want me to talk about? You want me to talk about the last two teams that was in the Super Bowl? Then you want me to talk about the Cleveland Browns? Like, what do you want? Like let me hear it and give me good feedback on that. But I'm going to definitely be doing this all 32. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I got a lot of guys helping me work with this, a lot of film breakdown, a lot of study. So it's going to be a good time. But anyway, thank you. Thank everybody who listens to the Fan Podcast. Thank you for all the feedback. You can get the link on my Facebook page, Mo Horton. You can get the link on Twitter, at Audience of One, Mo Horton. Check me out on all places where podcasts can be downloaded, on Apple, the iTunes. You can get it on the Google Play. You can get it on Cask, Podcast, Radio, everywhere that podcasts are downloaded. Or you can click the RSS feed and listen on my podcast app. So thank everybody for supporting me. Keep rating me, man. Keep hollering at me. Keep giving me your feedback. I appreciate everything that you guys do. Signing out. This is Mo Horton on the Fan Podcast.